Isn't God good? God is good. And one of the things that we are going to explore today is how God is good each and every day. And so as we get started this morning, let's pay close attention to God's word as it comes to us in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and then Ephesians chapter 5. And that'll be 15 through 17 in Ephesians 5. So Romans chapter 6, first of all. This is a very important passage. This is a passage about grace and about how through God's grace in Christ, God renews us every day. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into or immersed into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That phrase, walking in newness of life because of being united with Christ in his death to sin, but in his resurrection, means that each and every day we have a new life in Christ. We are saved by grace, yes, but we also live every day in the power and the strength and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the point of that passage. And then Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the 15th verse, going through the 17th. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is the word of the Lord. Once again, will you pray with me? Let your good news come now, O Father, not only in word and in truth, but with power and with full assurance through your Holy Spirit. For we do ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Today we take a look at what it means to live the Jesus way, or to live the will of God in the present moment. It is true that Jesus is Lord of the past. He helps us deal with the past through forgiveness and through helping us and guiding us as we deal with our regrets. Jesus is Lord of the future. He comes to us in his resurrection out of the fog of the future to assure us that God's ultimate plan for us is eternal life and is good. As believers in Christ, we are more shaped by this future hope than by anything else in the present. Therefore, we need neither dwell in the past nor fear the future. Because Jesus is the Lord of time, we can live fully and completely in the wonder of the present moment, which is to say that God does have a will for your life each and every day. There's an old song I used to sing in Young Life. Some of you may know it. I'm not going to sing it. And some of the lyrics are really not very good, but the chorus is amazing. I've never forgotten it. It comes to my mind often. And here's the chorus. The Lord has a will, and I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will. How many of you know that song from the past? Oh, it's a wonderful song. I'm so glad I could teach it to you or remind you of it. The Lord has a will, and we have a need to follow that will. And we have a need to follow that will on a daily basis. How do we live this Jesus way, this will of God as a way of life, fully in the present moment? Much can be learned here at this point from a great movie, Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray. Bill Murray plays Phil Connor, an arrogant Pittsburgh weatherman who is sent to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, to cover Groundhog Day. He despises the assignment. He despises the people of Punxsutawney. He despises the groundhog. He despises the weather. He despises pretty much everything. The result is that he gets stuck in that one day, Groundhog Day, in seeking to either go back to his past or to escape forward. Phil Connor, the character, is forced to repeat the same day over and over again. In other words, he is forced to live in the present moment. One film critic determined that Phil spends about 33 years reliving that one day. And here's what he does. At first, he enjoys himself. He eats donuts, all the donuts he wants. He enjoys doing whatever he wants to do. He engages in crime. He seduces strangers because he says to himself, there are no consequences. I can do whatever I want. But that quickly runs out of any meaning for him, as sin always does. It might be fun in the moment, but it always empties of meaning. In the movie, he slips into despair because he is unfulfilled. So he tries to end it all, but that never works either. Every day he wakes up again to have to relive the same day. Then he tries self-improvement. That doesn't really help very much either, by the way. It's okay, but he tires of it as well, especially because it seems not to be able to help him snag his love interest, the producer of his TV show, played by Andy McDowell. In the end, Phil Connor does find fulfillment by giving himself over day after day to helping other people throughout the day. He discovers a boy who falls out of a tree, and every day, day after day, he goes and catches him so that his life is saved. Every day, he helps a couple who are struggling in their relationship to actually improve it. And most of all, every day, day after day after day, he discovers an old homeless man that everyone else has ignored. And he ministers to him and serves him and befriends him and is crushed when the old man finally dies. He becomes, in the end, completely self-giving, and he learns how to embrace the present moment by learning to love Andy and all of the other people in Punxsutawney simply for who they are, and especially his love interest for who she is rather than what she can give him. And that's when he finally makes it to the next day and the rest of his life. It's a great story. And it underscores the importance of living fully in the present moment. We too can learn to dwell in the will of God in the present moment, and it is important that we do so. As Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, we are renewed every day in the grace of Christ. As Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17 says, we can make the most of our time because the days are going to just fritter away into evil if we don't. This is what God has called us to. So here's how we can live in the present moment. First, we can pay attention to Kairos time versus Chronos time. Chronos time is chronology. It is the daily, weekly, monthly, yearly passage of one moment to the next. It's just time as it passes by. But Kairos time is completely different. These are Greek words that are filled with meaning in the New Testament. Kairos time is those moments of significance that break into chronological time and grab our hearts. Events like the birth of a child, or a moment of love or beauty. Yesterday, I was cleaning up our back deck, and the sun, as it was going down, backlit a poplar that was in full color. We had never seen this miracle before because usually at this time of year, it's raining. And I called Laurel and said, oh, come, let's just sit on the back deck and just drink in the beauty. It was a Kairos moment. Sometimes kairos moments, in fact, the biggest ones, the most important ones, come with a sudden insight into the meaning and the significance of life, primarily through God's word. God is always, always, every day trying to break into our chronological life with kairos moments that create significance and meaning. They come through relationships, they come in insights, but above all, as I said, they come through God's word as we reflect on it and pray about it in terms of how God is speaking to us and how he wants us to put it into action. The problem is this. Most of the time, we are simply unaware of these kairos moments, or we ignore them through our busyness. We say, oh, what a significant moment, I'll come back to that later, and we never do. Pay attention. Pay attention. I recently learned a new saying that I actually like. It's this: God whispers. Listen closely. Isn't that good? God whispers. Listen closely. Learn to recognize kairos moments. But second, live by grace each day. Grace is God's salvation for us in Christ Jesus. God the Holy Spirit unites us with Christ's ongoing ascended life so that we are clothed in his righteousness, his power, in his will. Grace is not just what God gives us in Christ, however. It is also the simple and direct fact that on our own, when we are left with our natural abilities alone, with our natural awareness and strength, none of it is enough. None of it. Even at our best, it is not anywhere close to enough. Apart from God's life in Christ, we are utterly helpless. That is what grace is also about. And furthermore, grace is about how we live. Grace is God's very life in Christ Jesus, his strength, his power to choose to do his will every day. We cannot do this on our own strength, but only through his strength. And when we choose with him to do his will as it is revealed in Scripture, he floods our choice with his power to follow through on the choice. This is true freedom. We are saved by grace, but we also live by grace. And so live by grace each and every day. And then third, offer a daily one-word prayer. More on this in a moment. But first, today I would simply like to share with you a weakness I have. It's a tendency that I have. I have a problem with living in the present moment. I tend to be one of those weird people who is so focused on the future. I am so focused much of the time on 5 years from now, 10 years from now, coming up with plans, strategic thinking, that sometimes the present moment just gets lost in the shuffle of my life. I don't dwell in the past the way some people do, dreaming of a golden past that, quite frankly, never did exist in the first place. I live in the future. Lately, God has been trying to get me into the present moment, and I have been helped in dealing with this by learning to focus on the wonder of the present moment through the prayer of some ancient Christian monks who were taught, along with all of their other prayers in the day, to begin the day and to begin the morning in particular with a one-word prayer. And here it is. It's been my number one prayer for the last 2 years. It's part of my daily prayer. Are you ready for it? One word. Today. Just one-word prayer. Today. It is a way of asking, oh Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to hear just today? What do you want me to focus on today? We so often turn God's will into a do list or a duty, but it's really about walking with God personally by asking the question, where do you want me today? What would you have me focus on today? How would you have me change my plans and my do list in order to be available for what you have for me today? Now, let me just say, we should make plans and do lists, and we should plan for the future. That's not a bad thing to do, but we should always do so fully awake to the Kairos word of the Lord that might alter those plans, those lists, which calls us fully into the simple living in His will on this day, today. Which is to say that every single day is God's great gift to us. Few aspects of the will of God as a way of life, the Jesus way, are more practical than learning to live and dwell in the present moment. The Lord has a will, and I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will. This will covers our past. It promises the future. But above all, it is about today. Today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, will you pray with me? O Lord, today we are here offering you our praise. Today you were present before any of us arrived to make this place ready with your holiness and with your presence. Today we have much to do, but today you have grace to give. And so today we simply give you our thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.